1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse number 18. The Scripture said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen. I would like to preach for a few moments this morning about this subject, the magnetic cross of Jesus Christ. The magnetic cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The thing that stands out most about a magnet is its power to attract. A magnet is an object that produces a magnetic field that attracts metals such as iron and nickel and cobalt. Lines of force exit the north end of a magnet and attract the southern end of a metal that it is attracted to. It creates a magnetic field because something that is magnetic goes over it, and the ferromagnetic material inside of that material, there are those magnetic force, but oftentimes it's random. It's going in all kinds of directions. It has no direction, and so it has no attraction. It has no power. But when you pass that magnetic field over it, and it aligns all of that magnetic field inside of that material, then it begins to go in a cycle from north to south, and that creates a power within that magnet to attract things and to bring things to itself. Amen. And that's what happens at the cross of Jesus Christ. Not everything's attracted by a magnet. Some materials cannot be attracted. There are actually some materials, if it's headed the wrong way, it will actually push away from the magnet instead of being drawn to the magnet. Amen. But there is a magnetism to the cross. There is something about the cross of Jesus Christ that has the ability and the power to attract some. The Scripture says that it repels some. It pushes some away. But others, it draws and pulls to it. And that's what the verse is saying to us today. It said that the cross, the preaching of the cross, it said to those that do not believe, it's foolishness to them. It makes no sense to them. Amen. But there are some that believe and some that are saved, and to them it has a glorious attraction. I never want to forget the cross. Amen. I don't want to wear one around my neck. That's not the reason for a cross. It's not something that we just want to display in a church somewhere. It's not something that you put on a bumper sticker to put on your car. Amen. But a cross is something that you carry on your back. Jesus said, "If any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross daily and deny himself," he said, "and follow me." A cross is the making of a disciple. It is a symbol of our self-denial and our selling of self to the call and to the will of Jesus Christ. That's why we have a cross in our life. A cross has one purpose and only one purpose, and that is it's something to die on. Amen. As a Christian, you see, I have to die daily to my self-will, to my own desires, to what my flesh wants. And I have to die to that and say to Jesus Christ, "I will follow you." Hallelujah. I want to do what you ask me to do. And it's not my way, but it's your way. It's not my will, but it's your will. What would you have me to do, Lord? That is the life of the cross. Jesus Christ attracted a lot of people for various reasons. His teachings attracted some people. As a matter of fact, people came and said about Jesus, they said, "Never a man spake like this man." They were attracted because of his teaching. His miracles attracted people. He healed the sick, and the Bible said they would go find all of the sick folks in a region, and they would bring them to Jesus, and he would heal them, everyone. It says that there were some that came to Jesus because of loaves and fishes. Amen. It was a day that he fed multitudes. He did it on at least 3 occasions. He fed groups of people, fed them miraculously, and they would dine on food that had been provided miraculously by God, just as miraculous as the manna and the meat in the wilderness. God would supply again. Amen. And people were drawn to that. Amen. But those that stayed were not drawn because of his miracles, and they were not drawn because of his teachings, but they were drawn because of his cross. The Bible said that the multitudes that came to Jesus, as a matter of fact, it said great multitudes. But then there came a day, the Bible says, that after that, they followed him no more. What was the that that repelled them? What was the that that caused people to walk away from Jesus Christ? It was when he began to talk about his cross. There's something about the cross that is decision time. It's crunch time. We have to make up our mind at the cross. So there were some when Jesus began to talk about the cross and suffering and dying, it says the multitude walked away. And as a matter of fact, so many people left that Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Would you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom can we go?" You see, that's the magnetism of the cross. Once it gets a hold of you, you say, "Where can I go? There's no place like this place. There's no man like this man. There's no God like this God." Amen. There's nothing like the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. "To whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life." Amen. There's a magnetism. There's a drawing that takes place at the cross. Amen. Even though people sometimes are drawn to the cross, others are repelled from the cross. You see, there were some that followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Not as many as you would think. Not as many as you would think. People are fickle. People are strange. There were people that when Jesus marched into Jerusalem, they were waving palm branches and taking their coats off and putting them down in front of him as he rode on the beast of burden. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." They were fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. And they were making a way for the Lord. And they were singing his praises. And just a few days later, those same voices of the same people were raised in anger and in rage, and they were crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! Crucify him!" Amen. People are very fickle. You can't always trust people. Amen. And so the same voices, I've often wondered, Brother Fry, there were people that were standing on legs that he had healed, and they were standing and their voices raised in anger. I wondered sometimes if the voice that was mute, that he produced sound, could it be that some of them were crying out in anger? I've often wondered if some blind eyes were looking toward the Nazarene as he was crowned with a crown of thorns and hanging on a distant cross, and they were crying out in anger. I don't know. Could it be? The cross has a strange power. It has a magnetic power. Not everybody that met Jesus followed him. Not everybody that he preached to loved him. Not everybody that he healed continued to follow him. Brother Grissom, how can that happen? Well, let me ask you a question. How does it happen today? Countless miracles have taken place in this very church. People at the point of death have been brought back from death's door by the prayers of this church. Where are they today? People whose lives were racked and ruined by sin were miraculously delivered from all kinds of addictions. Where are they today? It hasn't changed, folks. Some people still want loaves and fishes. Some people, once they get the miracle, they no longer need the Lord. And they walk away with their help, and they forget about the healer. There's a magnetic power that's in the cross to some. Some it pushes away. But some it attracts. There were some that went all the way to the cross, but there were not many. Isn't it amazing that of all of the apostles, or the disciples of Jesus Christ, and the 12 as we call them, that of the 12, only one made it all the way to the foot of the cross? It wasn't who you may think it was. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't James. Amen. It was the one that got closest to Jesus and laid his head on his chest and heard the rhythmic beat of his heart as the blood rushed through his body. It was the one that got so very close. And he called himself the beloved of the Lord. The one that felt loved by Jesus. That was the one. He made it all the way to the foot of the cross. Let me tell you how to make it all the way. Get just as close to Jesus as you possibly can and stay there. Get close enough to hear His heartbeat. And if you'll stay that close, you'll make it all the way. Nothing is ever going to drive you away. John made it all the way to the foot of the cross. Oh yeah, we know that Mary was there. How could she not be? The one that gave him life. Amen. The one that gave birth to him. Amen. The one that she suckled at her own breast, raised in her home, and taught how to do the first steps and the first things of life, and fed and nourished at her table, and healed his scrapes and his cuts and his bruises, and held him close. And how could she not be there? Mary made it all the way. She made it all the way to the foot of the cross. Amen. And there were a few others there. There were some other women there. Amen. And there were perhaps some others we do not know about that are unnamed, but they made it to the foot of the cross, but not very many. When you consider the tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands of lives that He touched and blessed, there were so few that made it to the foot of the cross. There were some that followed from far. You know, Peter was one of those. Amen. Peter was one of those that followed from far. He stood afar off. James, Matthew, Bartholomew, Thomas, all of the others followed from far off. Amen. But there was something about the cross. Even though they followed from far, they couldn't stay away. Amen. And there's a magnetism to the cross. The Bible talks about two men, very prominent men in their time, very influential men. Men that were associated with the ruling class. There were 70 rulers in the Sanhedrin, and two of those members that I know of were followers of Jesus, but one of them followed in the night, and the other followed in secret. But there was something about the cross that drew Nicodemus out of the darkness, and he walked into the light, and he said, "I'm one of them. Would you just give me the body? Can I have the body of Jesus Christ, please? Amen. Would you let me take him down from the cross? Would you let me take care of him?" And there was another one that followed in secret, but he stepped out of the shadows of secrecy. His name was Joseph of Arimathea, and he said, "I also want to be identified with him." He stepped out of the shadows and stepped into the light. What was it that brought them forward? There was a magnetism to the cross. There was something about his dying. There was something about his suffering that drew them out and said, "I cannot stay in darkness any longer. I can't stay in secret any longer. I've got to profess my love for him. I profess my faith in him." And it drew them to the cross. There's something about the magnetism of the cross. Amen. Peter couldn't stay away. He just couldn't stay away. It drew him back. Amen. Yes, he wasn't there when he was crucified. He was not there when he drew his last breath. But he couldn't stay away for long. It just drew him back. He had I don't know where they had their meeting. The Bible doesn't give us many details. It just simply says that somewhere Jesus got together with Peter and they had their own private meeting. Amen. I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have heard what was said. But it was a private thing. Everybody here today, you need to have a private meeting with Jesus Christ. It's an individual. It's a personal matter. You see, it's not for everybody. There are times that you just need to get alone with the Lord. Nobody but yourself and Jesus. And that's when you really get down and you really just begin to talk to Him. And there's not anybody there listening but Jesus. And it's like the Lord and Peter and his disappointment and in his discouragement after he had forsaken the Lord and he had even cursed and he'd fallen away and he had denied. But there was something about the cross that brought him back again. He just couldn't stay away. Couldn't stay away. Amen. There's a magnetism to the cross. It reached out to the heart of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Now you talk about a strong magnetism. Saul, he everything inside of him rebelled against the cross. Everything inside of him wanted to run from the cross. But you see, that's the interesting thing about a magnet. It's the opposite that attracts. As long as you have north facing north, it repels. When a man thinks he's good, and a person thinks he's godly, and he doesn't need anything, he's already good enough. You see, he's repelled from the cross. But it's whenever we realize our sinfulness, and how opposite of God we are, and how far from God we are, and how ungodly we are, that's when the cross begins to attract us and pull us toward Him. It wasn't until Saul of Tarsus began to understand his sinfulness and his wretchedness. He got so low, he called himself the chief of sinners. And it was when he got in that condition that the cross attracted him. Amen. The cross attracts people today. It draws, it has drawn people literally by the millions. Amen. There's nothing like the cross. There's nothing like the cross. Amen. We're living in a time when it's going to become more of a counterpoint of contradiction than ever before. We're coming to a time, folks, when it's really going to be decision time. And we're going to have to really make up our mind. It's not going to be indecision any longer. It's not going to be, well, I can come to Jesus when I get good and ready any longer. Amen. There's going to come a time when that cross is going to draw us like never before. And people are going to have to make a decision. People are going to have to make a decision. Amen. So many have been drawn by the cross. Praise God. So many lives. Oh, it seemed like they were so far. Couldn't have been farther from God. But the cross attracted them. There are testimonies today that I know. Men that God saved that we could not even speak of their ungodly deeds from this pulpit. They're so ungodly and so gross. Some of them so horrible that you would have a hard time wrapping your mind around it. But a cross reached out to them. Attracted them. Pulled them. Literally transformed their lives. Murderers have been transformed. Yes, they have. Men that were cruel beyond description today, their lives have been literally transformed because of the cross. It could attract them. Draw them. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the magnetism of the cross. Amen. By the testimonies today. There are some standing here. You can testify of the magnetism of the cross because it attracted you. It attracted me. Amen. I didn't want to come to the cross. At one time in my life, I wasn't ready, but I couldn't get away from it. It just kept pulling me back. And I'm so thankful for the magnetism of the cross. Amen. Would you stand today in this place? I feel the magnetism of that same cross here today. Its drawing power is in this place. Can you feel it attracting you? Can you feel it drawing you? Can you hear His voice calling? Can you feel His Spirit reaching? Amen. Hallelujah. Let it draw you to Him today. Let it draw you to this altar. Preacher, my life's pretty much a mess. That's what the attraction is. If you were already good enough, you couldn't be attracted. If you were already godly, you couldn't be attracted. It can only attract you because of the opposites in your life. Because of the void and the emptiness that's in your life. Because of the needs that are in your life. That's the very thing that attracts. The Lord is drawing today in this service. There's a pulling that's going on. You need to give in to that. Don't try to resist it. Don't try to get away from it. Let it just draw you in. Amen. The thing about a magnet is it has the power to attract something so close that it literally becomes one with a magnet. It just attaches itself. And it's drawn and it literally becomes one. And the power of that magnet literally can flow through. And it can become magnetized till it can reach something else and attract the same thing. Amen. Have you become one with Him today? There's something so irresistible about Jesus Christ I want to be a witness. The best way to do that is to let His power flow through me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How about it today? Would somebody step out and come down to this altar? Let Calvary draw you in.